We're there? The Bible says in that passage I read to you that the word of the Lord was precious in those days and there was no open vision. I think we're getting to the place in America where we don't have an open vision of the Word of God. One of the things we do on Sunday evenings when we come together here is give you a time, and we do that on Wednesday evening as well, to share prayer requests or whatever's on your heart or your testimony, that we might share together the Word of God and how the Word of God speaks to our heart and what He's doing in our life. And not some priest or some pope or somebody sitting off in a building somewhere is to explain and tell us what the Bible says. The Bible says we become priests, and when we study it, that the Holy Spirit of God will get into our hearts and lives and tell us what the Bible says. But if we don't avail ourselves to the Word of God, studying, reading, praying, fellowshipping with those, then we won't have any open vision of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, the Bible says, is precious. May I say to you that are holding the Bible, and maybe you'd like to hold your Bible up for a moment, that you have a Bible with you. We're a Bible church. You're holding the most precious thing that you'll ever have in this world in your lifetime. The most precious thing that you'll ever have. You may not know that by the way we treat it or the way we get with it. The Bible says that is the written word. The Bible says the living word is Christ. That is Christ's words to us, what He wants us to know about Him. John said when he had written the Gospel of John and got to the end of it, I suppose if everything that he ever said or did was written down, there wouldn't be enough libraries in all the world to contain it. But he told us some specific things that he wanted us to know, very important things. And some things he told us many times over. But one of the things we know that the Word of God is precious. We think about after the resurrection and the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:32, and the scripture should be there on the board for you. They were walking along with Jesus and didn't even know it was Jesus. And it says, and as they said one to another, did not our heart burn with us while He talked with us, and by the way, and while He opened to us the scripture? They said we were walking along and He was opening up the scripture and talking to us and we didn't even know it was Jesus. You know, it is really, really sad. When He came the first time, most people didn't know who He was. I'm afraid when He comes the second time, many more will not know who He was. As a matter of fact, many will probably be glad that those of us that know Him are taken out of here and gone. They'll not even realize how sad that day is. And we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 20, in the mystery of the seven stars, thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven churches which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, we have to understand that the most important thing, and I say this, and it's repetitious, and I say it many different ways, that this church has to do is to spread the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We send that gospel light. We have fellowship, we have fun, we have enjoyment, we have times together, but it is all for the purpose of spreading the gospel. When we quit doing that, we might as well hang it up, shut the doors, lock it up, and go home. And that's why many churches have ceased to have Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, and maybe a scattered Sunday school on Sunday morning or once in a while. It is important that we open up the scriptures of God and open our hearts to them and know who Jesus Christ is to the degree that we can tell someone else who He is. How can we tell someone about someone that we don't even know? We're standing around and our conversation would be like this. Well, I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what God knows and what we're supposed to study and get to know. He said, these things are written not that you might think, but that you might know. And to know Him is life eternal. The most important thing. We've kicked the Bible out near every place that we had. We've kicked it out of our schools. We've kicked it out of our government. We're even legislating that it's not available. Isn't it ironic that we still have our officers and elected officials to lay their hand on the Bible and swear, and we can't even have it in our offices to tell us what's right and wrong? Isn't that absolutely, utterly amazing how stupid and how ignorant we are when we can do things like that? He said in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. Jesus said, I have lit the candle in your life. Some Somebody wrote a song, "You Light Up My Life." Well, I want to tell you, you haven't been lit up in your life until God lights you up. And when God lights you up with the Holy Spirit, you're light for Him and responsible to Him and to take that light into all the world. You're a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. God says He wants us to take the blessed gospel light. And where should we take it? Not where there's already light. Take it where there is darkness. Sometimes we get criticized for going various places and talking to various people. Well, how are we going to reach the people if we don't make contact? Jesus went where the people were. In the Old Testament, the prophet said He sat with the people 7 days. And He said, "I sat where they were and listened to what they had to say." We have to know what's going on and have a heart for people. We have before we'll ever take the gospel to people. We have to have a burden for the lost and dying world. And I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. And some people get enthused and some people get worried and tired and have to take a break. And I understand that. But if you want to get a heart right here at home, get with our Wednesday night program and some of our Wednesday night kids and see what is hurting and what is suffering if you want to know how to take the blessed gospel light. And if we can't do it here, how can we say, "I'm going to give some money to a missionary to take the blessed gospel to a foreign land"? If we can't take it to our hometown, if we can't reach those around us, if we're not willing to suffer for them, how would we ever suffer for a lost and dying world? So He said in that verse 16, that last verse of Matthew 5:14, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I don't know how many of you grew up without electricity. Anybody? Well, a few of us. One of the evening chores, my sisters usually took care of that while we boys were out getting the wood and bringing that in for the night or whatever, chores and milking and things like that. But as they would get the evening lamps, coil of lamps, ready for the night, the first chore was to get that globe that we called, the chimney that was set over the light, and get it out and wash it up and shine it up and clean it up so that it would give us light that night. That's what we're doing in church, is shining up our globes. He said, "Let your light so shine." How can our light shine when they're all filthy with the world's things around us and shutting out and suffocating the light? And you know what else a fire has to have? It has to have some oxygen. And you know what the oxygen of God is? The Holy Spirit in our life. And to light the light and let it shine and let it burn brightly to a lost and dying world. That's what He wants us to do. And we go out in the world and get it all dirtied up and muddied up, and we wonder why we don't have a testimony, why we don't see anything in our life, or why we're suffering, or why we're suffering loss of things that we desire. God's trying to move the toys and trash out of your life to get you focused on the blessed gospel light. And then God said He would even give you the desires of your heart. We are withholding so many blessings ourselves. God's not. God just cannot bless a life that is not blessing God, nor a country that's not blessing God. God's not going to bless America until we bless God again. And when we bless God, it's just natural. The blessings will flow. And our lives will be blessed if we bless God every day with our life, not just on Sunday. Not just a religious sham or show, but God, every day, "Let my little light shine," as we teach them in Vacation Bible, all over McCollinsburg, all over the town, all over the city. We should mean that from the bottom of our heart. And maybe we need to get back in kindergarten. I love that book, "All I Ever Needed to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten." How to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, thank you, those kind of things. Amen. We are an ungrateful nation. We don't know how to thank God. So, my title is here, "Don't Let the Light of God Go Out." You are the temple of God. We were studying this morning about Solomon building the temple. You are the temple. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" People who smoke or dip snuff or do something else evil looking say to me, "Well, it's my body." God said, "You're the temple of God." You think he wants the smoke rolling out your ears and your nose and your eyes and coughing and gagging and throwing the dirty butts down somewhere for somebody to pick up? You think God, the temple of God? I mean, doesn't just common sense say, I want to keep the temple a little bit sacred here. I want to make sure that it's godly. This is God's house. This is God's place. He put his spirit within me. And he wants me to be a light to the world. Several years ago, I went to a church down south where they raised the tobacco a lot. And when I walked up on the steps of the Baptist church, there was a big sand, and it had a big bowl or urn or whatever you call it there. And I'm telling you, there had to be about 5 or 6 packs of cigarettes smoked and put out in that place. I thought, what a testimony for the church. And then between Sunday school and church, wham, they'd run outside and stick it in there. And they forgot that they smell like smoke when they come back in, right? Some guy said, will it keep you out of heaven? No, it just make you smell like you've been in hell if you smoke, I guess. And somebody said, if you chew tobacco, you surely have to go to hell to spit if you went to heaven, amen? I don't know. I like the other manners that our kids do not have these days. Walking out on a speaker that's speaking. I only ever remember walking out one time. We were at a church not too long ago, my wife and I. Well, maybe several years ago now. Time does fly, doesn't it? When you're having fun, isn't life enjoyable? Isn't it enjoyable? I had a friend who was so much in pain, he couldn't take life anymore. That'd be terrible to come to that kind of place. I cannot imagine. In my darkest hours, in my most troubling pain, there's always that desire to want to suck some oxygen. There's that desire to want to be with people of God and be in the house of God. But anyway, this guy had a log chain around his neck and a cross hanging down to his knees and was whipping out stuff that was liberal stuff. And I said to my wife, let's get out of here. She said, everybody's going to see us. I said, I want them to see me walking out the door. So I walked out. You know what? That guy became a real friend of mine. He didn't know any better. And actually, he got ready to get married. He asked me to have the wedding. You know, we need to be careful about what we do and what we say sometimes. We're a little bit stupid, you know. I've done some other stupid things that probably more people know about than they've forgotten. But know you not your temple of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The next time that pregnant woman wants to get an abortion and says, it's my body, she better look at that verse right there. God gave that body, that soul, that life, and God will take it when He's ready. Amen. He said, you're the temple of God, the Holy Ghost, which is in you. He's talking about Christians. We need the light terribly desperate today. Our kids need light. I've never heard of such crazy things that our young people are saying to their parents. And you see the demonstrations that's going on in this world. They're taking stuff that our tax dollars have paid for out in California and ripping them up and throwing them in the street. I mean, what in the world kind of a generation are we raising up? What is going on? I don't know what is making that, but I know the only thing that will stop it is the blessed gospel light. Our church, first of all, we must begin. Bible says, let judgment begin at the house of God. Somewhere the church has slacked off, backed up, and backed down, and forgot to send out the blessed gospel light. Some of us think it's just a playhouse. Some of us think it's just a time of recreation in the morning or a place to go to get to see somebody. We forgot the main purpose of the church is to send the light. We need to send it out because of evil communications. Our speakers, our public speakers, our politicians are now blurting out all kinds of expletives on their speeches in front of audiences which we never heard of in time past. And vulgarity is the way of the day. Just if you want to think it, say it, and not worry about what people think. The only thing that's going to calm this world down and straighten this world out is the church. And when the church ceases to be a lamp, a light, and spread out the gospel light and focus upon people's evil deeds, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. That's why they do the evil thing, because we're in darkness. And we've got used to the light. We don't even care anymore. We don't even care that our children say the vulgar words. We just kind of laugh and think it's funny. And they heard them in school, and their teacher says them, and somebody else says them. We need it in the church because of our sexual immorality. The issue down in Baltimore, close there wherever it happened, where the illegals, and one of them was, I guess, 18 or older, and raped the girl, and supposedly raped the girl. They're saying it was consensual. How could we say in a public school, in a women's girls' restroom, that sexual sex was consensual? How can we say that? How can we get to such a place that it's okay? Okay, if you want to have some sex, go in the girls' bathroom. There's a girl in there. Just do it. How can we get that kind of mindset? The gospel light is not reaching out. We was in a one-room school, huddled around an old stove, but we wouldn't have thought of saying or doing things. I mean, you got cracked. You got smacked. I mean, you got hit. You got a whooping, and you know what a whooping is. It's something a lot bigger than a whipping. I mean, when you got whooped in West Virginia, you got really whooped. I mean, and by the way, I do like the guy from Montana, don't you? Nobody said, if you tell a guy two times to get out of my face and he don't get out of my face, then I think you have a right to make him get out of your face. Anybody else agree with me? Get out of my face. I told the last guy, get out of my face. I heard him say it twice. Oh, just terrible. I liked it when they said Montana culture is a little bit different than other culture. You got a whooping. I don't even want to talk about the other examples that I could give you about sexual immorality. We're now telling second graders, first graders in a public school right here in Pennsylvania, they opened up a total different place, I guess, the third restroom and the third place for this kid in the kindergarten to go to school, and taxpayers have to pay for it. How can we get so crazy? I mean, nobody ever told me I was a boy. I just knew I was a boy. I mean, I had all the things that boys have. I mean, my body was a boy's. My mind thought like a boy's. I was a boy. And then when I started to notice the girls look pretty good, I thought, they're different. I understood all that. What is wrong with us today? How can we be so brain dead that we can't figure out what sex we are, and we got to wait till we get 20-some years old and decide, and then if we don't have the right tools, we have an operation to get the right tools. We're nuts. We are nuts. Oh, don't talk like that. We better talk like that. Our kids are hearing the other side of the story and told it's okay. In every school classroom that there is. Thirdly, we need to send the light out and get the light burning in the church because of false prophets and teachers and preachers. Not every church that says it's a church is a church. May I say that again? Not every church that says it's a church is a real church. If they don't look right inside and they don't act right inside and they don't carry the 30-06 King James Bible, it's not a church. We've just taken this Bible and said, well, we don't like that. That language is gross. It's hard to understand. It's hard to read. We need to get it in a more modern update. We're so modern and update, we let our cars drive us instead of us driving them. That's the way we are. Everything drives us. We don't drive anything. We let our children drive us. What do the kids want? Knock on the door. Would you folks like to come to church? Let me check with the kids. What? And then if they do, they say, well, now I need to know what you teach at that church. I said, when was the last time you went down to the principal's office and asked them what they were teaching your kid in school? Never thought of it. But you're going to ask me what we're teaching at church? I'll be glad to tell you, though, we're teaching God, we're teaching Christ, we're teaching the Bible, we're teaching heaven and hell and a lot about that. Amen? How is anybody going to ever want to go to heaven if they don't know there's a hell? I don't believe in hell. Well, it don't matter whether you believe it or not, that's not going to turn the thermostat down 1 degree. It'll still be burning hot in hell when you wind smack dab in the middle of it. Secondly, we need a light because our country needs a light. Our country needs a light in the worst way. We have now introduced Muslim chaplains in our military, which was never thought of before. We have such crazy stuff going on. We now have witches as chaplains in our military. We're crazy. The Bible says light and darkness cannot coexist. The Bible says good and evil cannot coexist. How can we take the Muslim religion, which says that, you know, Christians are infidels, and put alongside of a chaplain who says that Christians are the saved people of God? They do not agree, according to the Bible. We need to do it because of false news. There's so much stuff that's going on that's unbelievable. Somebody wrote something on Facebook the other day, one of those cool days we're having. By the way, I could not get warm yesterday. I probably had to put on a coat. I thought, put on a coat this time of the year? But I thought, I'm cold, and I'm going to put on a coat. So I put on a coat. But somebody said, put in there, the temperature was 63.4. And 100 years ago, it was 63.2. And then 100 years from now, it might be 63.5. We better get after this global warming stuff. It's going to kill us, right? Fake news, false news. The Bible said seasons will come and go until God calls a quit to this earth, and then they think they're going to have a global warming when God sets this world on fire and the mountains are exploding and the rivers are polluting and people are dying and killing, trying to kill themselves. They're really going to know there's a global warming. And then when they wind up in hell, they're going to know there's a global warming. But not until God says so. And you can't stop God. God has got it all in control, and I'm trusting God. We need to send the light into our country because of corrupt leaders. We got corruption on every hand. We got people that do not care one iota about your kids, about your health care, about anything about you. All they care is about themselves. And they'll lie to you from the very get-go and keep lying and keep lying and keep lying as long as they're in there. We have so many corrupt leaders. And they're just one day this way, one day the next, and you see all kinds of the other issues in their life. We need to send light into our country because our culture is controlled by the demons of hell. Our nation began as one nation under God. And the Bible says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And look out there and see if it isn't hell going on. When our little kids are not safe in school, not safe to get on the bus. Child got on the bus. The mother was waiting. The child ain't showed up yet. The bus driver finally said, got a child on here, I don't know where it belongs. I drove the child all over the county somewhere. What? You don't know where you picked my child up? You don't know who my child is? Got a drunk driver driving a bus down in Tennessee, drives off the road, kills a bunch of students. And when you saw him, he looked like something out of a zoo somewhere. He looked like half monkey and half human to me. I'm sorry, I just have to call him like I see him. Our culture is controlled by demonics. The demonics of this world has closed in on us. And we're promoting that and trying to stop this. I'm an idiot as far as they're concerned. I'm crazy. I'm wound up. He needs to be just taken off and set aside and brainwashed, have his brain checked out. No, I think those people checked their brain out and never forgot where they checked it. That's what I think. Our culture. We're in trouble. We need to send the light. But by this thing, the only thing that will cure it. We had those men under the gun. We had a chaplain in the Senate. We had a chaplain in the House of Representatives. They were preaching the gospel before their sessions. Those men listened. The president listened. Even if they didn't believe it, they listened because they were controlled by it, because they knew the people were controlled by it, and the people believed it. Our homes need the light because of drugs. We are now telling our drug addicts, we're going to open up a house for you, and you come in this house, and we're going to give you a little bit of what you've been having a lot of, and we're going to wean you off of it gradually at the time. And we'll turn you loose to go back and come back. So I'm going to give you some drugs and send you out on the road, and you can come back tomorrow and get some more. Oh, Pastor Rod, you just don't understand the modern psychology of a drug-addicted person, those poor people. They've got it in their system, and you want to throw them in a prison. You want to do... Hey, we need to kill some of them. When they have committed willful murder, they need to get in the electric chair or the drug chair or however you kill them. I don't know. But that's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. I believe in capital punishment. People said it don't work. Well, you show me a guy that's murdered a little baby and his wife and his family, and let's kill him. He's not going to kill any more people. Amen. Oh, you're too rough. That's what the Bible said. In the Bible days, if your child committed an act worthy of death, you had to go out and throw the first stone on the child in the grave. God is love. But you leave God's love out and you've turned to God's wrath. And then we're in trouble. We're in trouble in our homes because of drugs. And we're sitting in one of the worst places in the state of Pennsylvania. Fulton County is one of the biggest places of drug addiction per number of people. And we keep sweeping it under the rug, pretending it don't happen. It didn't happen. Or send them over to Chambersburg or someplace else, let them take care of it. We need the gospel light in our homes because of violence. We have violence in the home. We have mothers drowning their babies in bathtubs. We have husbands and wives killing each other, feeding each other drugs in their food. We have all kinds of craziness going on. We have all kinds of violence. We have fights, and our children grow up in that, and that's all they see, and that's all they know, and they come out of there, and they take it into their lives everywhere else. And the excuse is, that's just the way I am. I have a hard time with anger, so you got to make space for me. Give me some space. I'll give you some space. I'll give you some space. Try that anger stuff on me. What is wrong with people? We're supposed to back off and let everybody be as violent, as wicked as they want to be, push through us in a shopping mall, ram our car in a parking lot, cut us off and give us the finger, and we're supposed to say, oh, that's just the way he is. Well, he's the one that needs changed. Amen? We need a light in our home because of rebellion to proper authority. Nobody wants to... authority. Those kids walking out and the authority allowing them to walk out, if I was the president of that school, they would not get their diploma. Amen. One of the requirements in this school is that you be here for graduation and you listen to the speaker we have or you don't get your diploma. You didn't earn your diploma when you listened to that liberal professor give you the last test and you passed and walked out. That doesn't earn you that diploma. You earn that diploma by being a gentleman and a lady and standing there, sitting there, listening to the program that we plan as part of your honor of leaving here. And we say, oh, that's their right. That's not their right. They haven't earned a dime. They haven't made a penny. They had taken from us. They've taken everything from us. They've got all that stuff. And we're supposed to put up with that nonsense? No. 1,000 times no. And moms and dads should have taught some of that stuff when they were this big. You show respect to adults when they're speaking, and you listen to what they're saying. You might learn something. We need the gospel light in our home because of a corrupt educational system. We have a lot of good people working in our public education system. We have teachers that work hard every day. I understand that. But the system is against them. The system is totally against them. And some of you probably don't agree with me, but when we told people, teachers, you can't paddle the children, I said to parents, if you paddle him, I don't have to. Every child that I had in school that was a good student said, if you want to paddle me, but please don't tell mom or dad. Never had to paddle a child like that. The one that, well, just wait till my mom gets here. Just wait till my dad shows up. Oh, yeah? Maybe they need some too, huh? I mean, come on. And now they run the school. They tell the teacher. Have you seen that commercial lately where the woman is waiting for a vacation and the kid is down in the fish tank and kid, you seen it? There's more reality than just an advertisement. That's a lot of classrooms. Somebody's got the right picture. We got to get things back to God. And we will check everything else out, but we won't check this school out. We need to go in and say, what are you teaching my kids? What are you teaching our children? We need to rise up. Lastly, the lost souls need a light. People are dying and going to hell, and Jesus gave us a mission that we'd keep people out of hell. He died that people might not have to die and go to hell. When we say saved, it means saved from hell. That's what it means. Saved from the wrath of God. That's what salvation is in the Bible. It's not saved from a cold, saved from cancer. You can get cancer as a Christian and die. But if you're a saved person, you're going to go to heaven. But if you're lost, you're going to drag that cancerous body into the grave and ultimately into hell. We got the idea that all we got to do is tell God everything that happens to us we don't like and God will change it. Sometimes God turns the heat up on us to teach us some things we wouldn't learn any other way. We got it all mixed up and we got some slick-looking preacher standing on a television station and people sending him tons of money and he's preaching that kind of stuff. But that is not the gospel. You didn't get saved from worry and fear. You got saved from hell. And that's all God promised you. But He promised you with that salvation that He'd never leave you nor forsake you and He'd go with you. Wouldn't be a trial He wouldn't go through with you. We need to understand that. And that world is a hell out there. Our missionaries have gone to Africa. They have gone to the nations in South America and died there for the gospel. And people said, oh, there was a failure. When they went down there and died with those Aztec Indians, they thought they was a failure. The very ones that killed them became Christians and started taking up the mission. God knows what He's doing. My life is but one to live and to give to God. So we need to do it because time is short. Time's running out for us and for them. There's some people in McConnellsburg that won't have another opportunity after this week to get saved. Somewhere there's somebody. Hell is for eternity is another reason we say that. People just don't go to hell and get punished and get out. People go to hell and they stay there for eternity. All eternity. And lastly, because Jesus Christ is the only way for people to be saved. Oh, that's just your idea, Pastor. No, that's not my idea. It is my idea now because I first saw it was God's idea, and I like to take the ideas that God has and make them my ideas, and that's what being preaching is all about, taking God's ideas and making them our ideas. You don't have a guessing game with God and say, well, God, I don't exactly agree with that. God's going to have a meeting, call the angels in and say, well, there's so-and-so down there. They just don't agree with that exactly the same way, so we need to change this so that we can have somebody else agree with us. I don't believe in baptism by immersion, Pastor Hodge. It don't matter whether you believe in it or not. God said do it. One lady said, I'm going to pray about baptism. And I'm going to pray about tithing. What are you going to pray about? God let you be a thief and steal from Him? God said do it. He didn't say, if you like it, do it. If you think it's okay, pray about it, see how you feel. And if I'm praying about tithing, that tells me I'm not and tells me I don't want to. And I'm already in rebellion to God. So what do you think, God? God's not even going to hear your prayer. God says do it. I like that part. When God says do something, just do it. And God says some don'ts over here. Like don't forsake the assembling of yourself coming together. God says do it. Get in there. Get in there. We're having supper. What are we having, Mom? We're having cornbread and buttermilk. Well, I don't like cornbread and buttermilk. Don't matter. Get in here. And now I like cornbread and buttermilk. I'm a cornbread country boy. I like cornbread and buttermilk. Anybody else? No? Okay. Then just sit back and watch me do it. I love that stuff. Christ is the only way. He's the only way. Amen. We, the Christians, are responsible to be God's light in this world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. God said we're to start where we live and start preaching, teaching the gospel, and go into the whole world. And do it as long as we live. Do it as long as we live. There's no discharge in this word, says in Proverbs. There's no discharge. Oh, so-and-so. You know, some of the old grayheads really have some things to tell that we need to hear. You know, we need to listen to some of the things Grandpa and Grandma tells us. They've seen a thing or two. They've learned a thing or two. They know a thing or two. Amen? Your parents got pretty smart when you got about 21 or 22, right? When you were 16, they were dumb, right? But it's amazing how smart they get down along the way. Amen? Amen. Tonight we'll be talking about our spiritual GPS, God's positional system. Are you saved? Are you on the way to heaven? Do you have the light? That's the most important thing. You've got to have a light before you can shine your light. Did you ever get outside and stub your toe on something in the dark and say, well, I should have brought the light. I should have brought the light. Yeah, you should have brought the light. Some of you stumbling around the world, you don't have the light, the blessed gospel light. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't want to die and go to hell. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Dear Lord Jesus, I now accept you as my Savior. Come into my life and be my Savior. And I repent of my sin and want to be a Christian. That's how you get saved biblically. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth, didn't say if we think about it, pray about it, said if we confess it with our mouth, believe it in our heart, then we are saved. That's Bible, not the Baptist way, not the Methodist way, not the Catholic way, God's way. Jesus said, I am the way. That's the way you do it. You want to do it God's way. Watch young men go through their training. This is the way we teach in the Army. There's your way, somebody else's way, but my way, the sergeant used to tell me. Well, I always like to do it this way. Don't matter how you'd like to do it, you're going to do it our way while you're here. Do it our way. Do it God's way. Let's stand for our invitation. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before Thee realizing that in a congregation this size, many people here, probably most, would say that they're Christian. But Lord, I pray if there be one soul here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, today would be the day. This would be the moment when they would say, I'm not waiting. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible never says to put it off a day, put it off another time. The Bible doesn't accept church membership. The Bible doesn't accept baptism for salvation. Those things are coming after salvation. He says today is the day to be saved. Today is the day to turn to Christ. I pray if there's anyone like that, they would come to Thee and come to Thee now. Then I pray, Lord, if we haven't been sharing our light, we haven't been taking the blessed gospel light to a world, we've got issues, we've got things, we've got problems, we need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, forgive me and help me be a lighter of the light and sending the blessed gospel light. While your head's still bowed and your eyes still closed for just a moment as the piano plays, I wonder if you're here this morning, and as the piano strikes those chords, as God strikes the chords on your heart with conviction of the Holy Spirit and says to you, you know you're not a child of God, you know you're not saved, and you need to do it now, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Say, that's me, Pastor Hodge. That's me. God's speaking to me about my salvation. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to make sure I have a light. I want to share the gospel light, but I don't have a light. If you're here this morning and you can say, Pastor Hodge, I haven't done all I should have done and could have done with my light. I could do a better job. Pray for me. I want to do a better job. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to send that blessed gospel light to a lost and dying world. Number 310 is our hymn of invitation, whiter than snow. You might say to me this morning, well, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad you are. None of us got in because we were good enough. We got in because we trusted the goodness of Christ, and He makes us whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live. Break down every idol and cut every bone. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from my throne in the sky and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Jesus.
Don't forget our services this evening, and God bless you for being here, for all you do for the cause of Christ, and we keep pressing on for the mighty high calling from God, who knows us all and wants us to serve Him. He doesn't care where we come from, what we did. That last verse, you see everything, but you're able to cleanse me and make me white as snow and give me a light and make it shine. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer, please?